Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة ونحن له عابدون قل أتحاجوننا في الله وهو ربنا وربكم ولنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم ونحن له مخلصون أم تقولون إن إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط كانوا هودا أو نصارى قل أأنتم أعلم أم الله ومن أظلم ممن كتم شهادة عنده من الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد once again السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're at the end of the first juz of the Quran, and this is still very much in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we haven't even really reached the half point yet. Nonetheless, here, if you recall the last ayah we talked about, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, it concluded in this way. Allah told His Messenger that He, Allah, will be enough for you against them, and He hears everything and knows everything. And then this form of speech that is coming in the ayah, it requires something more in translation. You can't just translate it word for word and expect that the listener will understand what's being said. Just to give you a little bit of background, in Arabic, it's a very common thing, especially in classical Arabic, to not say the whole thing and to expect from the listener that they can fill in the blanks themselves. And to give you a very primitive example of that in English, you know, when we say it to somebody, great, we don't really mean great, we mean that is great. But we don't say the whole thing, we just say the predicate of the sentence, and we assume the rest of it is implied or understood by the listener. That would be a primitive example of what happens in Arabic. In Arabic, the way this is done, this is, you know, in English we call this omission, right? In Arabic, the concept of hadf, you know, omitting something, is far more advanced. And usually in English, when we omit things, the thing is very obvious. And in Arabic, usually it's some kind of a verb. And so for instance, here we have sibghatallah, sibghatallah. How I would love to explain to you the grammar of sibghatallah, but we know that most of us aren't students of Arabic, right? But it starts with the mansub, it starts with a fatha. And you know how you say subhanallah and subhanallah, the noon has a fatha on it? That actually means there's something before that that is understood that, you know, that the Arabic listener will understand, or the student of Arabic will understand, something more is being said than just subhanallah. It's actually usabbihu subhanallah, aw sabbihu subhanallah, aw nusabbihu subhanallah. Something is there. But for the average person, they won't see that. The same thing's happening in sibghatallah. It's actually like some ulama say, ikhtarna sibghatallah. Sibghatallah literally means the color of Allah. The color of Allah. That's an expression, it's a figure of speech. What does that mean? Actually, the whole expression means we have adopted the color of Allah. In other words, imagery is being provided in the ayah. This is an ayah of imagery. A lot of Arabic is pictures. Like paintings or pictures are drawn through words. So I want you to understand this picture that's being painted. You know, if you pour color or paint on top of someone, they're completely colored in that their clothes, their face, everything is colored in that one color, right? They're immersed in it. When you say sibghatallah, you are saying you have through and through adopted tawheed, the oneness of Allah, the uniqueness of Allah, the lordship, the authority of Allah, the acceptance that Allah is the master and you're the slave. You have adopted that entirely. You are painted in that color. You've been immersed in that color. That is the only thing about your identity. In other words, and this was really powerful, a powerful statement to make to the Yahud especially, because they identified themselves with nation first. They identified themselves with nation first. And if you remember the conversation before, they were reminded of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, whose primary focus, Hanifan,
وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, right? His primary focus was Allah. So now we're going back to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam with this beautiful expression, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةَ. What better color? In other words, what better adaptation? What better personality will you have than the one that Allah demands? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةَ. And then we make this declaration. This is what you should say to them. In other words, قُولُ is implied here. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. And we alone are the ones that are worshipping Him. And so there are two implications here. In نَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. There are two implications that are very powerful. The first of them is, we're the ones that are doing worship of Him. Not you guys, actually. You guys think you're worshipping Him, but you're not. نَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. And the other is, نَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. The لَهُ مُقَدَّمْ, the جَرْ مَجْرُولُ مُقَدَّمْ implies, we're only worshipping Him. We're the ones that only worship Him. When you worship, you mix something else into the, you bring something else into the picture. But when we do it, we keep it exclusive. نَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. It's more powerful than saying, نَحْنُ عَابِدُونَ لَهُ. There's a difference in the format of speech. Anyhow, قُلَ تُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. And then the format goes back. And now Allah makes us question them. Notice this passage began, they were questioning us. كُونُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. Be Jews and Christians, you'll be committed. You'll be committed to guidance. Then you'll be considered guided. Now Allah says, no, you ask them back. قُلَ تُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. Tell them, are you going to debate us about Allah? Are you really going to debate us about Allah? أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. I've heard actually on Christian talk radio, and like a lot of, nowadays there's like two steady genres going. There's Christian talk radio, and then there's Christian political talk radio, and they're getting closer together now, right? And most of the time they're just bashing deen, like I've told you before, bashing Islam. And one of the things they talk about is the word Allah, and how the word Allah is, you know, they worship the moon, and that's what the word was for worshiping the moon god, and that's why they follow the Muslims follow the lunar calendar, because they're obsessed with the moon, and they actually pray to the moon, right? That's what I actually read this in textbooks, and this is not even now, this is back in the 90s, when I was in high school, and I was taking global studies, when it came under Islam, yeah, Muslims worship the moon, and that's why they follow the lunar calendar. It's like, wow. This is all, I didn't know that. This is new to me. I'm Muslim. Right? But this, you know, this idea of even being condescending to the word Allah, what's incredible is that the Christian, Arab Christian community is far older than the Muslim community. They're an old community. And the Jews in Arabia are an ancient community. They're not a new community. They're an ancient community. And both of them, in their literature, when they talk about Allah, they use what word? They use Allah. And actually the European renditions of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, which are much later in history, the word God, as is used nowadays, is from the German word Gott. It came from German. But the older, the more original word to the Christian tradition is Allah. The word Allah is more Christian than the word God. More Jewish than the word God. It's original to them first. And yet today they can argue with us about why don't you pray to God? Why don't you pray to Allah? Who's this Allah? It's like, why don't you read your own book, buddy? You know? This is still found in their books. But nonetheless, here are more fundamental questions being asked. Why are you arguing? You're gonna argue with us about God? أَتُحَاجُونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. He's our master and your master. This is a really important thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't here just say, وَهُوَ خَالِقُنَا وَخَالِقُكُمْ. He's our creator and your creator. You know, when we talk about Allah's names and attributes, sometimes they're so ambiguous, we don't make the distinction between them. He's our creator, He's our Lord, same thing, you know? Why is Allah saying in this ayah particularly, what are some of the benefits? He's saying, why are you arguing with us? While He is our master and your master. What's the difference between a creator and a master? When someone creates something, like, you know, and the closest thing to creation we know in the world is like manufacturing, right? You can manufacture a car, you can manufacture a table, you can manufacture something. After you manufacture it, does it necessarily mean you have control over it? No. You can manufacture it and then sell it. You can throw it away. You can do whatever you want with it. Doesn't mean you have constant control over it. What's a master? What's a master? A master is someone who owns it, has control over it, has authority over it. He can do whatever he wants with it. Just because my car was made by a Japanese company doesn't mean that company can come and claim my car. I own it now. I do what I want with it. They can't do what they want with it. They're the creator, but they're not the Rabb. They may be Khaliq, but they're not Rabb. The word Rabb is being used here. Now let me explain why this is important with a very, it's a silly example, but I think it gets the point across. Now picture the scene where you're sitting in your office cafeteria, And there's like four or five of you colleagues, in lunchtime, you're sitting in the cafeteria and you're making fun of your boss. You're sitting there arguing about how the boss is ugly or fat or smells or whatever. You're just insulting the boss left and right and how he's not qualified and your granddaughter could, your kindergarten daughter could do a better job than he can. And I don't even know how he got this job, except you're just going off on your boss and you're arguing about him. And you have no idea that he's standing behind you. You have no clue that he's standing right behind you. Now, if you knew that he's standing behind you, would you talk like that? No way. You would never debate about the validity of his validity, knowing that he has the authority to do what? Fire you. If it's some other guy, you might not care. You could talk however you want. When you recognize somebody has authority over you, has power over you, they can do whatever they want with you, then even if you have opinions, you'd shut your mouth. You'd watch what you say. قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. You're arguing with us about Allah, and He's our Rabb and your Rabb. We're not going to talk about Him the way you guys do. Just to win an argument, you know, in argument, people start saying things, insulting things, condescending things, just to win an argument. The Muslim recognizes, I may be arguing with them, but I'm talking about Allah, I'm going to watch my back. I'm going to watch what I say. I'm going to be very careful how I talk. I'm not going to cross a line just to win a debate. وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. Then he says, وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. And to us, the only thing we will have is our deeds. This is ikhtisas also. وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. And you, all you will have is your deeds. وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Some people have misunderstood this to mean, you can have your way, we can have our way. You have your deeds, we have our deeds. Actually, لَنَا اِخْتِصَاص here, it means something more than just you do your thing, we'll do our thing. لَنَا means what we have done, when are we going to get paid for it? The lam here, what we get, what we're going to have. When do you get it? In the akhirah. We will earn what we did. We will have what we did. And you will have only what you're doing. لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. It's a warning. We're watching it. We're the ones committing ourselves to Allah and we'll earn from that. You're saying these things about Allah. Don't you think you're going to earn that? You're going to pay for that in the akhirah? وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. And then you say, and by the way, in the akhirah, what are the only kinds of deeds that count? Since a'mal came up, deeds came up, what are the only kinds of deeds that count? You can do good deeds, what's missing? Sincerity. If the intention is missing, nothing counts. Your famous hadith, I think all of you know, what's the famous hadith? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ مِنْ نِيَاتِ. Now look at this ayah. He says, لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. And we are the ones that are absolutely sincere to Him. We're the ones only sincere to Him. And we're the only ones sincere to Him. Actions are mentioned, ikhlas is mentioned. How beautifully Allah ties things together, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He makes us question them again. أَمْ تَقُولُنَا إِنَّا إِبْرَاهِيمَا وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطَ كَانُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. Are you saying that Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub, who they call Israel, they call him Jacob, sometimes they call him Israel. Quran also uses the word Israel for him, right? And their lineages, they were Jews or Christians? Is that what you're saying, that they were Jews and Christians? How are you saying that? Abraham is way before Moses. How is he Jewish? You're saying that your religion begins with Musa alayhi salam. How are you calling him Jewish? How is the Christian calling Abraham and Moses? How are you calling them Christians? And if you're not calling them Christians, why are you calling them believers? Because according to you, the only believer is the one who believes in Jesus Christ. So how are you calling, what kind of believers are they then? You know, this is a problem in Christian theology. They had to grapple with it for a long time. And they came up with a whole bunch of theories to deal with these prophets that are mentioned in the Bible that Allah praises. The Bible praises them. And then they say, well, they didn't go through Jesus to go to heaven. So how are we going to figure this out? Because now that means that they had another theology and we're coming up with another belief system to get to paradise. Then purgatory was developed. In other words, these prophets, and especially in the Catholic tradition, these prophets, they did good, but it's not good enough. So there's heaven, and there's hell, and then there's the elevator in between. And they're in between, and on judgment day, Jesus is going to come and press the button and say, now you can go, you've gone through me. Until then, they're not really good. They're not clear yet. So they started saying these things about the prophets, alayhi wasallatu wasalam. You know? And so, even if you look at it historically, how are you going to have regard for Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then you say that if he's chosen, then all his children are chosen for the Christians, from the Jews on the other end. If you're saying Ibrahim alayhi salam was chosen, then you're saying, you know, Allah azza wa jalla tells us about him that He chose him, you know, if he's chosen, then all of his children are chosen. Why do you pick only one brand of children that are chosen? What about all the other kids? And then they start saying inappropriate things about the other lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And yet you find even Ismail alayhi salam is praised in the Bible. The things they say about Ismail alayhi salam, it contradicts what their own books say. So Allah questions this before. And just think about this. This would require extensive knowledge of Christian history and Jewish history. And who's saying this to them? I mean, if they don't believe, who do they think? This is not Allah talking to them according to them. Who do they think is talking to them? This messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who they make fun of, then they say he doesn't know anything. He's ummi. He's not lettered. We're the people of the book. We have research. And Allah says, Allah tells this messenger to question their research. Ask them, where'd you get this from? أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ Then Allah asks the question, you think you're that knowledgeable? Are you more knowledgeable or Allah? أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ Who could be a worse wrongdoer than the one who hides a witness he has from Allah? Inshallah ta'ala, I'll make this a project for myself for next Monday. I'll share something amazing with you next Monday. There's a great scholar of the Qur'an, a literary, in Shariqa. He's originally Iraqi, Dr. Fadl Salih Hassan al-Ra'i, who's written a book called Al-Nubu'ah al-Muhammadiyya Min al-Shak ila al-Yaqeen. It's an Arabic book. It's a fantastic book. And he actually did a radio and a TV show on it. And in this TV show, he takes the old copy of the Bible, the Arabic Bible, the Arabic Christian Bible, and he takes a passage out from that Bible. It's written in very difficult Arabic. And he explains that passage. This is a passage from the Bible. Now, what does the passage say? The passage is a passage in which God is talking to this blessed land. And the word, the name used for the land is Bakka. Bakka. Is Bakka used in the Quran? Another name for? Makkah. And Allah is talking to this earth and telling it how He has blessed this earth and how He will send it its final messenger and how this messenger will have a mark on his shoulder and how people will reject him and how he will revive the legacy of the father Ibrahim. Oh my God. It's spelled out. Inshallah, I'll share that with you next week. But this week, just listen to this part. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ Who could be a worse wrongdoer than the one who hides a witness, a witness account that he has with him that came from Allah? Who could be a worse wrongdoer? In other words, your books are screaming at you that this is the messenger. They're screaming, your book is telling you, it's witnessing that this is the messenger of Allah. Who could be a worse criminal than that? You're telling us, كُنُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا Why don't you read your book? What are you doing? You're hiding Allah's book. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ And Allah is not at all unaware of the things that you're doing. You know, interestingly enough, right now, Allah is still addressing them. عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ What you are doing. You here refers to Bani Israel still. You know, because they're the ones that are hiding the testimony. At the same time, this refers to the Muslims, so they're being warned. They are hiding their book. They're ashamed of some parts of their book, because it doesn't go with their agenda right now. You don't become the same. You don't do that crime with your book. You don't become shy of any part of your book. You don't do that crime. SubhanAllah, Allah has protected His book, so we can't change it. But you know what other crime we can do with our book? We can just conveniently not talk about some parts of it. Let's just not talk about it. Because it's, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. It's in the Quran, but why even talk about it? You know? SubhanAllah. We do that, and we're in more trouble, not just with people, but with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere, you know? And it's not like if we don't talk about these things, those who hate us are going to hate us any less. It's the only thing is we've made a new enemy now, and that's Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're hiding His book. We're not doing anybody a favor by hiding our book or shying away from, you know, clearly explaining the teachings of our book. And wallahi, I tell you, most of the cases of confusion and extremism that are in the ummah today, you know why they are? Because we haven't made the effort to clarify Allah's book. So people read it on their own without properly studying it and make crazy conclusions. And that's where all this craziness comes from. That's because we don't think we should be able to explain it. SubhanAllah. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ And finally, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ We're being told again. After Allah gives them this like scolding, now He turns to us again. And He says, that is a nation. And this is Allah is talking also about the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. That is a nation, قَدْ خَلَتْ They're gone. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ They already earned what they earned. That nation has already got what it earned. They came, they made their payments, they made their efforts, and they're gone, and now they're reaping those benefits in the Akhirah. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. And you'll only have what you've earned. You better get to work and earn it. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You will not be interrogated about what they used to do. You will not be asked about what they did, you will be asked about what you've been doing. This is a change of focus. Because you know, this was a disease of Bani Israel. They would praise their history. Even to this day, they praise Musa alayhi salam. Even though Musa alayhi salam himself was like, why are you causing me so much pain? But afterwards, now you'll find they praise Musa alayhi salam. Even then they would praise him, and they would say good things about him too. But none of that praise would translate into action. They would praise the prophets, they would take pride in them, they would take pride in their history, their legacy, but it wouldn't translate into any action. They would just say, oh, how awesome they were, and let's go over the story again, and what a great tradition it is, how inspiring the story is. Now, can that become a problem in the ummah, that we talk about the prophets, we talk about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're obsessed with praising this Messenger, alayhi salatu wa sallam, as we should, and yet, after all that praise, it doesn't translate into action? It doesn't translate into, well, that praise is supposed to lead to something. It's supposed to lead to a sense of allegiance and obedience. It doesn't translate into that. You know, my teacher used to tell me, rahimahullah, used to tell me, you know, that in some parts of Pakistan, there are like these nasheeds, naat is going on, right? And the guy's like going at it. He's just like, he's really into it. And people are like swinging and they're all in love with the Prophet ﷺ. And the adhan is going on. And Maghrib is going on in Jama'ah, and this guy is too busy praising the Prophet ﷺ to actually obey him. Right? What, you know, this delusion happens, where there's a distinction between taking pride in your history and your legacy, and actually becoming a part of that history and that legacy. So that shouldn't happen to us. We shouldn't be that, you know, that disconnect should never happen. And I tell you, that phenomenon exists in the ummah today. There are people who love the Prophet of Allah ﷺ. They love him. They express that love for him in many different creative ways. Let's not talk about the legitimacy of those ways. Let's just understand that they have a genuine love for him and appreciation for him. They do. And yet, there is not even a passing thought, a fleeting thought that maybe I love him so much, maybe I should try to be like how he was. Maybe I should try to raise a family as he advised. Maybe I should have my financial issues dealt with the way he would want me to deal with them, as was guided, given the guidance, according to the guidance given to him by Allah Azza wa Jalla. That thought doesn't even, I just love him. I'll do whatever I want to do, but I love him too. This isn't love. This is not love. So I leave you with this very simple, straightforward hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's a sahih hadith. It's very beautiful, very straightforward, no complications in it. Kullukum yadkhulul jannah illa man aba. Every one of you is going to enter paradise except the one who refused. The Prophet told the Sahaba, every one of you will go to Jannah, except the one who doesn't want to go. So the Sahaba are confused. Like, وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who's going to refuse? Messenger of Allah, who's going to refuse? مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. The one who obeyed me will go to Jannah. And who disobeyed me, he didn't want to go. The one who disobeyed me refused. That's refusal. That's refusal to enter into paradise. May Allah make us of those who enter His paradise. May Allah make us of those who commit themselves to the beautiful sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give us a clear and sincere understanding of the Qur'an. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.